It is 24 minutes to 11. We are in studio chatting about obesity and body weight and image as well. How does it make you feel when people comment about your weight to you, when they say to you, oh, you're so thin, or oh, you're so fat? Oftentimes, a lot of people who are skinny or thin find themselves scrutinized and gossiped about, particularly around their health status. And now in this day and age of HIV and AIDS, a lot of people feel self-conscious about being underweight or perceived to be underweight, for example. So it goes both ways in terms of people being overweight and also underweight as well. Paula Galvao joins us in studio. She is a registered pharmacist and also runs Eden Life Wellness Clinic, and she is somebody who has struggled with weight issues in her life, and she has a testimonial as somebody who has been overweight and sometimes might, you know, the word obese might have been used to her situation as well. Paula, you grew up as a child who was were a teenager who was overweight and an adult as well, and then you took a decision when you were in university to try and find ways and means to combat this. Can you tell us about your story?
Yes, okay. As you said, I grew up as a fat child. I come from an Italian home, and when you're an Italian, food is the very center of your existence, with all the pizza and pasta. And so we grew up really celebrating food. And even as a four-year-old, I remember being overweight and being conscious of my weight, and I remember taking my very first appetite suppressant at the age of four, and stealing it out of one of my mom's drawers. So having grown up overweight, even from a very early age through primary school, having gone to hundreds of dietitians and having been on every possible weight loss program that there was. I mean, it really was not for the lack of trying that I was.
Various dietitians, I'm sure.
Absolutely every dietitian that was available. I mean, all over. My mom flew me all over the country to see absolutely every dietitian that there was. And with every dietitian, my self-esteem was eroded just a little bit more. The dietitians would tell me, eat with moderation, use common sense. When you're eating pasta, rather use a tomato-based kind of sauce. And you know, as they would keep explaining to me about the sensible thing to do, the more they would explain this to me, the less sense it would make, and the more I would feel completely eroded. My self-esteem would be completely eroded. To the extent that by the time I reached university, I really believed I could do very little. I was very bright. I mean, I was accepted into medicine. And withdrew from medicine, really, because I didn't believe I could do it, and that had a lot to do with my weight. But, you know, I became a pharmacist, and not, you know, today I'm delighted I did that. But, Kay, really, what I really want to say is to all the people who are overweight out there, we really need to understand that obesity has got nothing to do with a lack of self-control. The majority of people who are overweight, they're your A-type personalities, your high achievers. If you look at their lives, they are absolutely in total control of every area in their lives. They're highly disciplined individuals. But in this area of weight, they just don't have control. And there's a reason for that. It's whether they're insulin resistant, leptin resistant, whether it's psychological. And even psychological, I want to come back to that, but if we actually examine insulin resistance just for a minute, Kay, if you're not insulin resistant, what happens to this person, and that's someone who's never been overweight, they eat starch, they release insulin, and they digest it. Now, starch, we mean bread, pasta, potato, fruit, all those foods that anyone would normally eat. In a person who's insulin resistant, and 90% of people who are overweight are insulin resistant, that's a very high statistic. When they eat starch, they release excessive amounts of insulin, far, far more than normal. And that causes a rebound drop of serotonin in their brain. And serotonin's the happy hormone.
Yes.
The minute their serotonin drops, it causes an increased craving. And that's always for a starch-fat combination. I mean, as you said, people don't crave a nice carrot stick.
No. We all, celery stick.
Absolutely. No one craves that. We all crave a starch-fat combination, like chocolate cake, like pasta or pizza, something like that, or fat cook. So we all crave that sort of thing. And then a whole vicious cycle is set up. The more we crave, the more we eat. The more insulin we release, the more serotonin drops, the more we eat. And so the more our insulin is released, the more the serotonin drops. And the problem with this is that when we have the successive insulin release, we also increase our fat storage, and it's more than normal. And what we found, okay, is that people who are overweight actually don't eat excessively. But it, and believe me, they don't. And I know there's a whole lot of thin people out there who went, oh, yeah.
In their eyes. Mm. Like Don. Let me read you Don's highly insensitive SMS.
Mm.
He says, K, rubbish. Parliamentarians and Kulubusa are fat because they eat too much. End of story. They have no self-discipline. Please don't make lame excuses for them. This is Don not really thinking about what he's writing, not involving himself in the psyche of somebody who is overweight, and also the chemical issues that you're talking about that go on in the body, whether the people work as parliamentarians, whether they work as street sweepers, or they work as CEOs.
Mm, mm. And you know, really, I feel sorry for Don, because he probably has no clue. And he probably,
get a grip, Don.
Mm. If he's still listening now, and he understands, if he would just listen with open ears and hear what we're saying about the drop and the excessive insulin release, I'm sure, Don, that you're blushing, because you should be embarrassed, and because actually all you're doing is exposing your ignorance.
And also just confusing the issues of his dislike for people,
mm-hmm.
and then confusing that he's mentioning parliamentarians, and specifically Kulubusa Zuma, for example, and if he has issues with them, he then associates the fact that they have obesity issues with whatever personal opinions he might have about their reported actions. Let's take calls. Anybody who would like to comment on this issue and who suffers from obesity, I'd like to hear from you, and or people who are thin as well. How does it make you feel when people comment about your body weight? Do you find that it lessens your chances of getting a job, getting a partner, and being happy? Are you unhappy because you are overweight or underweight? How on earth does that make you feel? I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0. You can also SMS us on 31702 and 31567. Let's chat to Lara. She's in Newlands. Hi, Lara.
Hi, listen, I'm not sure if I'm going to be very kind of succinct in what I'm trying to say, but I'm a little bit aggravated by this conversation, because mm-hmm. you guys are being very sort of critical of everybody, and your name, you're calling people names as obese and fat. You're mentioning parliamentarians, you continuously talk about people that have been fat and they should eat eggs. I would like to suggest...
And they should eat?
They should eat carrots. Or they should think about what they're eating. I'd just like to suggest that perhaps what you should be promoting as a radio show and possibly a doctor or a pharmacist is, you know, just a great sense of self-worth and a great sense of self-respect. You know, if you respect yourself, you know, you eat well and you love life and you don't have to be skinny. You don't have to be totally obese. Clearly there's a health...
So but when there's a health issue...
I'm bored with your... You know, the young girl who is talking about, you know, obese people, but then you should be eating this. Or seven-year-olds who are sorry, I'm a little bit uptight about this conversation.
You're bored.
I'm just tired of young people, neurotic people talking about how neurotic they are. Neurotic people talking about how neurotic they are. Love yourself. Have self-respect. And don't call anyone else obese and be happy with who you are.
Lara, thank you so much for your views. Always welcoming diverse views on the show. Thank
you. Clearly, I'm going to get cut off.
No, you're not going to get cut off. I'm going to let you go so that I can take the next call.
Great.
Thank you very much. You take care. That is Lara in Newlands. Kim in Seapoint. Hi.
Hi, Kay. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, Kim.
This is such an interesting topic, and I can relate to everything that she is saying. I'm obese. I don't eat a lot. But I do eat a lot of starch, like your breads and your pastas and things like that. I do go to gym, but I'm still struggling to lose weight.
Mm. And you find it difficult to cope. How does it make you feel in terms of your self-esteem? Do you find that people treat you in a particular way? And this issue of self-love, Lara calls in and says that we actually shouldn't have this discussion. We don't even have a right to have such a discussion. How does it, and then now you're calling. It's so interesting to get contradictions on radio, where one person's saying, I hate this, and another person's saying, I'm so happy that you're doing this. And I'd like to know from you, Kim, specifically, how does it make you feel when society, at large has a frowns upon you, and you know that you are struggling with something that is not because of your own doing?
I'm a very positive person, so, you know, I've got no hang-ups about my weight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to do something about it. But, you know, when you lose, you just tend to notice how people look at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's really affected my career, but, you know, people do give you the side looks and think, you know, well, there's no reason to be fat. Why are you fat?
Mm.
And, you know, you keep saying, well, I'm going to gym, I'm trying to eat properly. But, you know, I do eat, you know, a lot of the starch, the pasta and the breads. And yeah, I'm just struggling. So to hear about being, you know, insulin resistant and all of that, it's just, I'm just staying up and I'm looking to the show, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. And you are also getting some explanations, I suppose, as to some of the reasons why people pile up weight.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Kim, thank you so much for your call.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Kim calling us from Sea Point earlier. Paula, you mentioned, studies that in people who make example as that landlords are 60% less likely to rent to obese people.
Mm, absolutely, and really it's because they believe obese people are sloppy. And just coming back to what Kim was saying about how she's trying to lose weight but does eat a lot of starch, that's exactly what happens to people who are insulin resistant. The more starch they eat, the more starch they want. And a very good point, a good thing for Kim to do would be to opt for eating more protein, because as she would opt for eating more protein, it would drop her levels of neuropeptide Y, which would drop her appetite. And in addition to that, not only would it drop her neuropeptide Y, but it would also oppose her insulin, which is exactly what happens to patients who are insulin resistant. Their insulin is sky high and they start to crave more. So you'd, in Kim's case, you'd get a release of glucagon, which is the hormone that opposes insulin, would definitely go a long road to helping anyone who is insulin resistant, would be to sticking to an eating plan which is predominantly higher in protein. It would also encourage the release of growth hormone, so while she's losing weight, she would firm and tone.
Hmm. Now, you run a wellness clinic that specifically looks at people people who want to lose weight, and you offer various solutions, obviously, and they go through various programs after going through a screening test with you and finding out exactly what their problems, their specific problem is, and you offer interventions for specific people. You have some brand ambassadors for your brand as well, people like PJ Powers,
yes,
who've been through this, who feel that this is something worthwhile to talk about. Dumisho Masha as well,
yes,
is one of the other people that I saw mentioned when reading the material around Eden Life as well. Who else is it that you've treated that is happy to talk about it and their weight loss?
Yeah, we've treated Alan Ford. He's lost 78 kilos on our program. Robert Whitehead, the famous Barker Haynes from Isidingo.
Mm, my favorite actor.
Yes, absolutely. Helian Lombard.
Mm. So various people in society at large have,
absolutely,
you know, they struggle from issues of weight loss. So, but how does it make you feel when we get calls like Lara's? I think everybody has a right to free speech, and
absolutely,
that is why we take calls that are agreeing with us or disagreeing with us in any event, just to give people the space to say what they think. What's your reaction to Lara?
You know, I think she raises a valid point. We do need to love ourselves, but I think, you know, we don't get away from facts by hiding our head in the sand. You know, the reality is that there are 7-year-olds going on diet, there are 8-year-olds, 50% of 8 to 9-year-olds have gone on eating plans, and we can't get away from that fact. And the reality is that we have got a scary society that needs to address these issues. The other thing is that the socioeconomic effects that this is having on our society, that obesity, And whether Lara likes the word or not, that obesity is having on our economy is frightening, because the effects of obesity on the incidence of chronic diseases is huge. I mean, chronic diseases like cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, the escalation rates are phenomenal. And the impact that that is going to have, the impact that that is having on the financial status, and that is having on our medical budget, is huge. And for a country that has up until now been looking at inadequate nutrition. We're now having to look at an economy where we've got obesity and the consequences of obesity. It really is the opposite side of a coin. So we've got to still be looking at both sides, because we have areas where there's inadequate nutrition, and now we also have the consequences of obesity as a problem.
Yes, and you know, this is a very concerning societal issue at large. One person called us earlier this week when we were chatting about HIV and AIDS, and he said, well, after that whole chat, he said, well, on a totally different topic, but still on health, there is a silent killer out there that we don't talk enough about, diabetes, specifically. Saying that that actually kills more people than HIV and AIDS.
Yes, no, it does. Absolutely. And just on that point, you know that being 5 kilos overweight is as bad as smoking 20 cigarettes a day.
Oh, my goodness.
And yet we've banned smoking in public places.
Yes.
We've made such a hoo-ha about it, but we haven't educated our public about the dangers of being overweight and why they're overweight. What are the biochemical imbalances? And then you have a call like Laura that says, put your head in the sand and let's ignore it, and let's leave people to die, even if they are overweight, and let's leave them to develop extra cancers, and let's leave them to die of prostate cancer and ovarian cancer. It doesn't matter that the incidence of ovarian cancer is 40% more in obese people. Who cares? We'll just hide our head in the sand.
More people with those kind of views on our SMS line as well. Amy says, I'm sorry to say that fat people only get that way from the back of a fork. I'm 62, 3 children and weigh 45 kilos. I can eat my cake and know when to stop, and that's the real issue. Know when to stop. Sorry, fat ones, truth hurts. And that's Amy with her scathing comment there. But anyway, let's move on. Monday in Kempton Park is on the line. Hi.
Okay. How are you doing, Amy?
Good, thanks, and you? What's your comment?
I'm not too shabby. No, no, I just want to clarify one thing. You know, the obese, well, I don't know. There's a good way to get rid of it. But you shouldn't be expecting that romantic taking from the couch into bed kind of thing. Because you can do something different about it.
Okay.
You can hang on, or you can do something different about it. Because we don't want, I mean, you should be able to hook your partner from the couch into the bedroom kind of thing.
Okay, Monday. Thank you so much for your views. Thanks a lot for your call. Monday calling us from Kempton Park. One person on our SMS line says, hi Kay, I'm a white male, 26 years old. I weigh 128 kilograms. I have tried everything to success. Can your guest give me some tips?
Yes, absolutely. And a white male, 26 years old, who's tried everything to lose weight and without success, is absolutely where I was at the age of 25, weighing 113 kilos and having tried everything. Now, one of the things that, firstly, I'd like to tell this person who sent the SMS is, A, opt for a diet that's high in protein, low fat, and low carbohydrates. So you'll be eating more protein. The majority of your food will be protein. Secondly, don't have 5 to 6 meals a day. If you're having 5 to 6 meals a day, it's because you're built like a Greek god, which clearly you're not, I'm not, and the majority of people out there are not. What happens when you eat your food is you release insulin. Insulin is your fat-storing hormone, and that's meant to be released for about 2.5 hours. Thereafter, your body naturally releases glucagon, burning hormone, and then you go into 2.5 hours of fat burning. So you go, you eat food, you go fat storing for 2 hours, you finish eating your food and you go into fat burning. Now, if you go and eat 5 to 6 meals a day, all that happens is you eat your food, and then you go have another time of eating food, you release more insulin, go into fat storing, eat some more food, go into fat storing again, and then you're constantly in fat storing. So what you should do is eat normal 3 meals a day. The other thing that I'd like to tell you is, remember what the biochemistry of a food craving is. When a person is craving something, you have an actual endorphin in the brain which binds to a receptor.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes you to experience a craving. Now, there are four kinds of receptors in the brain, and there are four different kinds of food endorphins. And they are wheat, corn, barley. Now, inevitably, the wheat, corn, and barley are fattening receptors and fattening kinds of food.
Mm-hmm.
But milk is one of those receptors and one of those kinds of foods that are not fattening. And in fact, studies have shown that if you increase consumption of fat-free milk, you increase your weight loss rate for various reasons. In fact, one of the reasons is that milk is a precursor to serotonin. So what I would recommend you do is that when you are craving food, one of the first things you do is you have fat-free milk. So, for example, a skinny cappuccino, or maybe, am I allowed to say the word? Let's say...
are you allowed to say what word? You're live radio.
Oh, dear. Am I allowed to say that word? Let's say
as long as it's not
an iced coffee, a frozen iced coffee, or something
like
that.
Oh, you can say that word.
Okay, frizzuccino.
Yes.
Okay, you can have a frizzuccino or something like that. Because that's a fat-free milk, help bind to one of the endorphins, and you won't want to have wheat or corn or barley or popcorn, something like that. By having the milk, it will also increase your weight loss rate. So that's something that would help you as
well.
Okay.
Akiva is on the line. Unfortunately, because we don't have time, I can't put her on the line. But it says here that she wants to know, why does one diet work and another doesn't?
Well, you know, I think it's really about the science. Weight loss isn't an art. It's a science. And if you understand the science of weight loss, you'll understand why some diets work and some don't. And the other thing is, you know, one has to look at each individual patient and running the blood tests, know what's going on in that person's biochemistry. And if you create, you know, it's like a science experiment. If you create the same environment in each person's body, the correct environment for weight loss will happen. So if we create the same environment in your body, the weight loss will happen. There's no reason it won't.
Okay, Paula, I'm going to give details as to how to get in touch with you right after the news, but thank you so much for joining us and also offering your expertise on this issue and your opinions as well. Paula,
thank you so much, Kate.